Welcome back to The Edge. We're deep diving in the December product review updates. Yes, 5,000 words. DuckDuckGo passes 100 billion searches. Just registered your business on Google Business Profile? Well, get ready to wait. And is your analytics getting blocked? You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of January 17th, 2022, here on Edge of the Web.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
I know what I got to do. I got to get Paul Dixon to do extra, read all about it. And he will do it phenomenally well. Our deep voice
Why
guy.
Do you insist? Why do you insist on holding? You know, before the podcast, you're asking me about, like, do you hear something funny in the sound of the podcast?
Yeah,
like, see? I don't know. It's like. It's like when my wife asks, like, do I look good? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, great, whatever. Like, I don't know if I don't hear anything.
I was trying to plug into your attuned ear, and evidently you don't give a crap.
And then you're screaming this extra stuff as if the sound matters at this point.
Was that clear? Was that clear as a bell?
Unfortunately.
All right. Well, the two people you're listening to, I'm Aaron Sparks, owner of Site Strategics, an Indianapolis-based digital marketing firm. And you're talking, or you're listening to Morty Oberstein.
A real jerk.
Snarkmaster. Morty Oberstein.
What did Nazi call me? Mr. Grumpy Pants.
I think you're racking up a few names in the community here. Head of communications over at Semrush, Morty Oberstein. And this is Edge of the Web. We're covering SEO and digital marketing news of the week, separate from our weekly interview podcast, getting you more news to you even more quickly than ever before. Be sure to check out all the recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. This is the Hrefs Digital Marketing News Desk of Edge of the Web, and we're proud to have Hrefs as our title sponsor for the show. Hrefs is a fantastic platform to analyze your SEO ranking factors. We've been using them for years. Again, swinging back around, Morty, how you doing today?
I'm sorry, what happened?
Notice anything special?
Yes, this is hilarious, by the way. So in case you don't watch the podcast on YouTube, but in case you don't know, Aaron's like Johnny Cash
there is,
and only wears black.
There we go, see?
Except he's not nearly as cool as Johnny Cash.
My kids don't think so either, so.
Yeah.
I thought I had one safe moment here, but no, I guess not. So what?
Wait, so then? I show up and you're wearing what? It's like tan.
It's
a dark tan, I guess.
It's olive green. It's an olive green hoodie.
It's an olive green. It looks dark tan over here.
It's still part of the monochromatic scale.
It's whatever. It's close enough. And I'm signing on. I see it.
It's the greens being pulled out from the chroma key for the TV.
See?
So it probably, I mean, you're not quite showing up there, but it's pulling some of the green out of it.
It is.
Yeah. So, okay.
So
it's greener than I. Okay. So small detail, I got the color a little bit wrong. So I showed up like, holy crap, like this is like, I don't know how to take this. Like, get me out of here.
He's like, am I the wrong,
it's like throwing me
podcast?
Off.
I'm sorry. It's disheveling. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's disorienting. And then I check my DMs on Twitter and Jacob's like, hey, make sure you mentioned something about Aaron not wearing black today. I'm like, check, done.
And this is exactly what people are tuning in for. You realize that.
This is the best intro ever.
It's all downhill from here.
All right. Well, that's inspiring for our listeners. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't heard us before, very sorry for the disruption that my wardrobe has caused Morty. So you know what? Some more disruption caused by Morty from Semrush blog. All right. Our first news article of the week, picking apart the December 2021 product review update page by page. Morty takes a look at a variety of pages that were either rewarded or demoted at the hands of the update. So we might have to have a better idea of what sort of product review content Google is actually looking for. Morty, this freaking thing was 5,000 pages. 5,000 words.
I'm looking at it now because you have the article up, and yep. It says it's a 24-minute read.
When it said,
"Hey, that's the best 24 minutes you'll spend today."
When it said page by page, I thought Morty actually looked at every page that changed
the whole index,
perhaps.
Our field reporter was watching every page. All right, so
I got a little carried away.
I think so.
By the way, I had a fifth example, and I'm like, this is getting too much already. I used four examples in the post.
Wow. Holy moly. Oh, all right. So roll it through, Morty. This is your okay. piece. Give us an idea.
Let me crack my knuckles here. Okay, I don't know how to crack my knuckles. Such a loser. What I did was, I like to see what happened on the page level. Yes, some of these things are not at the page level. They're at the domain level. Mm-hmm. But I like to see, okay, if a page went down for a keyword and another page went up, what is it about that content? Perhaps there's something that you can learn from that. So I looked at a whole bunch of keywords related to the December 21 product review update, and I showed four examples here because if I used more, it would have been complete madness. Some of the themes were, okay, so I feel like SEO saw the original product review update back in April of 21 mm-hmm. and said, hey, we got to checklist this thing. That's what SEOs do.
Okay.
So hey, Google is looking for a buyer's guide. Need that. We need a section for pros and cons. We'll get that. We need a comparative table. We won't rank. Add that to the checklist. Mm-hmm. And what a bunch of, I think, sites did was, well, now we have this update rolling around. Let's just make this checklist and, with perfunctory add that stuff in without actually wondering if it's helpful to the user. And what I saw was a lot of these pages didn't have a comparative table, but were really, really good reviews that you can tell where they had firsthand experience with the product or similar products.
Right.
And those pages did better because they were actually helpful.
So what you're saying is that what the SEO community thought they were seeing wasn't entirely true. It's not just throwing a table in there. It's looking for quality of content. That's what the update was looking for.
My voice just cracked. Like I'm in third grade. I still have a cold. Yeah.
Do you need a lozenge? What? I mean, come on.
I do. I need a Ricola so bad.
All right, so what else did you see there in the update insights?
Yeah, so a lot of firsthand experience works. I think what's happening is, if you want to ask my total speculative opinion about what's happening in mm-hmm. the algorithm, mm-hmm. is that Google's able to profile language format. So, for example, if I write, this product has this, this product has this, this product has this, it's very linear.
Yep.
But if I start writing, and this is what you naturally write if you actually have firsthand use of the product, this product has this, and then you start modifying and qualifying that statement. Mm-hmm. It's a very different kind of writing style. And then Google's able to tell, hey, you know what? If a person has firsthand experience or if a person's running a quality product review,
right.
The language structure is going to be very different if you're just adding in, this is this, this is this, this is this. I'm oversimplifying this, by the way.
Sure.
And just adding in a table that doesn't really have a lot of information in there, and you're not qualifying what you're writing about in the product because you can't, because you don't have actually firsthand knowledge of this product. And there's a major difference in the language structure between a page where you do have firsthand experience mm-hmm. and you're writing about it in a very nuanced and highly detailed way versus I'm just running a product review for the sake of writing a product review.
Right.
That's what I think is happening.
And to probably couple that is that they did that for all of the different products. So they had a systematic way of actually pushing
machine learning.
Well, what I'm saying is that they may very well, Google may have very well not only seen that very linear type of review string of characters, but also they saw it on a lot of different product pages that site would have, as opposed to much more organic and deeper natural language, right?
1,000,000%. Like one of the things that I saw that was really interesting was one is people using the product review page and extending the knowledge by mm-hmm. adding other articles at the end. Like, hey, if you're looking at this, you also need to read this stuff to get a more holistic view of what you're reading.
Right.
Or one site that I saw did something really cool. They were awesome. They wrote a product review about, I think it was like Bob, what do you call them? Like the plates on a barbell, like weight plates,
yeah.
whatever they're called. I don't know what they're called. I used to lift weights. I should know. And what they did was they had like ultimate guys, like all sorts of different kind of weight plates mm-hmm. and they linked out. So when they were reviewing, home gym systems, they're linking to all this like really deep content that really goes into way deeper than the product review, that particular kind of weight. So you have like a short synopsis, not short, it was a deep synopsis on that particular kind of weight.
Right.
And then a link in there to a way even deeper analysis of that kind of weight. It was really good.
It was kind of a corroborating factor inside of that review.
Yeah, you're a topical expert. Yep. You have firsthand knowledge. You're clearly a topic expert on this. You know what you're talking about, and you're linking to multiple pieces that show like you know what you're talking about when it comes to this product.
Sweet, sweet. All right, well, that makes perfect sense. That actually makes perfect sense because we're seeing certain things when it comes from reviews that Google is in the knowledge graph of a particular product is actually extrapolating reviews. And the sentence structure is not what it's extrapolating. It's actually making a sentence from what it's actually reading of those reviews. So it absolutely is reading the content, and it's actually boiling up to the surface key concepts of how to measure the quality of this product. So that's...
Yeah, it's profiling.
It really
is. Google is profiling it, and it thinks quality should look like X, and if you don't look like X...
There you go.
It's problematic.
Absolutely. All right. What else did you get from this deep study?
That wasn't enough.
Well, I just want to make sure that we covered everything.
Yeah, Morty, you're like 5% in at this point.
Dude, yeah, exactly. You got a progress meter on the freaking podcast.
There is a progress meter. There is most definitely a progress meter.
There is.
It's true.
Oh my gosh.
Issue intent matters, which I know it sounds obvious, but if you're trying to write a product review and you're thinking you're going to capture all sorts of cast a wide net to capture all sorts of keywords. Mm-hmm. I forget what was the case. It was about a wireless subwoofer or something like that. Hold on. Now I got to go back and remember what the keyword was. I have a terrible memory. No, that wasn't it.
TLDR.
I got to scroll through. Hold on. There it is. Home theater system wireless. That was the keyword.
Got it.
So there's a great product review on Home Theater Systems, but they're reviewing wireless and not wireless products. Mm-hmm. And then there was a product review that wasn't as good, but it was only about wireless home theater systems. And that one did better.
So they were kind of diluting their content.
Yeah,
by
I mean, like that they should have wrote a separate. They should either have kept one in general, like one general post,
right,
about home theater systems, and then done two separate lists about wired and wireless.
Got it.
To go after those particular keywords. Yeah.
No, so understood. Like, understood.
Yeah, that was one interesting thing I never thought I could think about. Like, you need to go more specific and make sure you're targeting all the possible keywords, and you may have to break up your list into two separate lists.
Which makes sense, because if you're trying to compact too much into one article, right, then it's not really matched. You're not really matching the intent of that particular
user. That's the risk of going top shelf.
There you go. All right. Well, there certainly is
a scroll bar on my mouse.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Scroll
wheel. finger hurts.
It's offering me a snack.
It's all screenshots. There's like 5 million screenshots. Come on.
I need some popcorn to read a blog. All right. Well, that's an excellent blog, and you got to check it out.
I don't know. You didn't read it.
If somebody please tell me the bottom line, because...
I did. I wrote the Bible.
I'm waiting for the Cliff Notes version.
You could probably have like 5 blogs around pulling apart this blog. How about that? Why didn't you do
probably.
That? Why didn't you do that?
I don't have time.
You certainly did.
No, this is great. This is what I did. Like, everybody was off for the holidays, and I'm not because I'm Jewish. Like, all right, I have time to write a blog post. This is what happens when you let me have time.
Wow. See? So this is what we get. This is hashtag more Morty right here.
You should have seen me in grad school. I'm pretty sure I got A's because like no one actually read the papers. Like, oh, I'm not reading
crap.
This.
Holy crap. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, certainly we want to let everybody know where it is. And I'm sure you can find it because, I mean, you pretty much, you just added like 1% to the entire internet right there with this, with this article. Hey, another article from Search Engine Land from Barry Schwartz. DuckDuckGo passes 1 billion searches. The privacy focus.
1 billion searches.
The privacy-focused search engine announced it surpassed 1 billion searches of all time. It posted this announcement on Twitter. So, I mean, here's it's a legitimate search engine. Of course it is. 1 billion times. Your search history wasn't a data point. They said what you searched, like cat memes, was your business and only yours, and you recognize your right for privacy and chose it. So there was a nice 1 billion search post from DuckDuckGo. So that says, a year ago, the search company announced it was hitting 100 million searches per day. Now, if you look at the public traffic statistics, it shows an all-time searches passed 100 billion, and the highest daily number of queries it saw was 110 million. That record was passed this past Monday. So, that said, should we care about this, Morty?
I want to know how they tracked 100 billion searches, because I thought they weren't tracking anything. Now I feel
violated. Nice. All right. So, I mean, you got to
get... I think 100 billion search. How do you... That's a big number, right?
It is a big number. And we're seeing growth of DuckDuckGo traffic to a lot of our clients' websites in the double digits and triple digit amounts. So there are certainly people utilizing the service, and it's making its way into us even reporting some of the top search engines that are bringing in traffic to our clients. So it's legit.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm the only podcast that ranks for best SEO podcast.
Suck it, Trebek. All right, now.
I'm the only podcast that ranks. Otherwise, all like...
it's the only one.
Like, list. Oh, you guys are there also, though.
We're here. There's an iTunes page.
Yeah, there's an iTunes page.
No, but look, I kind of feel like it's important, but, and here's the but, yep. No one's taking down Google. Like, right. Everyone thinks, all right, you have Naver, when we're going to come up with a new search engine or a new model, and we're DuckDuckGo. We don't track anything except 100 billion users that we do track, but okay. No one's beating Google. Like, if you, I think like everyone feels like, okay, we're going to come in and we're going to, who's the search engine that's going to do it? And the answer is no one.
Right.
What's going to be Google is someone doing something different, not trying to be Google at their own game. When someone realizes, hey, wait a second, this whole construct of the SERP with a couple of features and the 10 blue links doesn't work. And I have a whole post coming out about this. Like, the 10 blue links will go away at some point because that's not what people are looking for at this point. Like, you're just throwing information out there, but people want to, like, I think what's going to take down Google, unless Google does it themselves, is content portals. I want to go in, I want to really explore and understand everything about the one topic. Like, I search for a town.
Like a mountain climbing search engine, right.
Right, like I search for, like, Mount Everest. I get videos and podcasts, and I get, a couple of web results and whole content portal.
Aren't we being promised that with Google Mum? That's what's going to be happening, right?
That's the question with Google Mum. That proves my point, because Google themselves recognizes this.
Yep.
That the search engine model needs to change fundamentally, that it's not what people are looking for at this point, and now they have the technology to theoretically do it. I think what's going to be a problem for Google is, like, what happens to all companies like this? Are you willing to move away from your bread and butter, right? We made billions and trillions and gazillions of dollars from the 10 blue link model. Mm-hmm. How quickly are they going to be willing to move away from that to a different model? And if they're not, that's a good opportunity for somebody to swoop in, right, assuming that they too can develop similar technology and do what Google is not willing to do.
All right.
That's my take on that.
That is his take. It almost sounded like an SEO rant there. All right. So we've got a poll that we're running, right? So we ran a poll last week. We want to make sure that, that we're going to be asking our audience here on a regular basis to participate in this show. Last episode's poll was regarding the announcement of Yoast and Shopify, the recent news that Yoast was available for Shopify websites. And we asked the question, who would it benefit more? And 52% of you said Shopify actually gives a larger benefit than Yoast, but it was by a slight margin. So for the most part, everybody wins. All right, so we're going to have a poll this week, right? Jacob, what's our poll as it applies to DuckDuckGo passing 100 billion searches?
All right, this week's poll, will you change how you optimize pages because DuckDuckGo has reached 100 billion searches? So will you, the marketer, the SEO professional, whatever, are you, the reader of this poll, listener of this podcast, going to change how you do anything based on DuckDuckGo's growth?
See, can I tell you? No, I'm sorry.
Are you going to answer the poll right now?
I'm just seeing that Morty's SEO Rant's the only podcast over ranking for best SEO podcast in DuckDuckGo. I'm beginning to wonder about the quality of the search ads out there.
Or, <Me too. laughs> or we know the answer. We know Morty's answer to the question. He's gonna say, "I already have."
Yes, he already has optimized. Wait. Yeah.
No, but think about it. How many podcasts are actually optimizing their podcast website for podcast queries? Not many, because right, you're getting how many people come to your to the site and actually listen to the podcast? They go to the streaming site.
Sure. By the that's platform. Why, and that's why we outrank you.
Except for, except for one idiot who does it. That's me.
All right, so that's the poll. Are you marketer, going to start changing your tactics? And more importantly, how are you going to measure those tactics, right? Because there's...
Can I tell you, this is like the worst possible scenario where another search engine becomes significant enough to actually consider it. Because now you have to think about optimizing for two things.
Well, weren't we doing that with Bing? For the longest time?
No.
Nope. I'm glad my mic wasn't on for that spit take.
Well, but seriously, like, is there, like, I know we all said, like, yeah, we don't want a monopoly of Google, right, but do you really want to have to worry about another search engine?
That's three times more work, guys.
Right, come on.
All right.
Isn't one bad enough? It's like two wives.
Okay, I have no experience there. Maybe you do.
You're married. What do you mean? Have no experience with this?
Oh no, just I don't have.
Is your wife still in a trailer, by the way, in the garage?
Oh, God. No, she came out. We released the Kraken.
Like, living with you is so bad that I have to go lock myself in a trailer in the garage.
Well, she has a place to go to when we piss her off a lot. No, she's on record.
Your wife had COVID, and we hope she's feeling better.
She's fantastic, and she walked into the kitchen going, "What the?" See, we don't clean nearly as well as she does, evidently. All right, let's pull this back around here. So, are you sick of your competitors outranking you in search results? Wish there was an easier way to get more traffic? One option is hiring an agency. It could be a costly one at that. The other is to leverage a tool that will tell you what to do. Your solution is Ahrefs Webmasters tool, and it's free. Go to edgeoftheweberadio.com/AWT to receive a full free website audit tool. That's always free. Fantastic program to understand key search engine ranking factors. One of the most solid link analysis platforms in the market. Check out one of my favorite tools, which is the Link Intersect tool. You can see the linking competitors, who is actually linking to them, but not you. The pages that outrank you likely have a few more links that you probably want to go hunt down. So check out everything out over at edgeoftheweberadio.com/AWT. Hey, you'll get that tool for free, the Webmasters tool, today. All right, we're also proud to have Inlinks as a new sponsor for Edge of the Web in 2022. Did you know that entities play a major role in how search engines understand and rank content on the web? Optimizing your content solely around keywords is a thing of the past, and we talk about that regularly on the show. Now's the time to add entities into the mix and reach higher rankings by using Inlinks, an award-winning software in entity SEO. So if you're interested in getting a free Inlinks account, go over to inlinks.net/edge to claim your free Inlinks account and start creating content that will outperform your competitors. And thanks for the sponsors being on the show. Do appreciate that. Third article coming around. Google Business Profile sets a waiting period for new owners and managers. Google updated its Google Business Profile, formerly Google My Business, their help documents to say when you add a new owner or manager to a business profile, those new owners may have to wait 7 days prior to being able to manage all the features of that profile. Well, that's interesting news, because a lot of times you're adding on a new agency, you're adding on new members of your team, and they're not going to be able to actually do certain things, such as add and delete a profile, thankfully, remove other owners or managers, thankfully, transfer primary ownership to a profile to themselves or a third party, and an existing owner or manager tries to transfer primary ownership to a new owner or manager, they still have to be in their first 7 days. Here's the deal. We've been seeing regularly people trying to claim ownership of Google Business Profiles, and you get notified with that. That's the only notification that you actually see if you're actually monitoring your email. thankfully, they're putting in this particular governor because at least it gives a 7-day period of time to be able to reject that ownership if they do claim it. So hopefully there's a little bit more protection that they're going to be rolling out here over time. But we've seen Google business profiles get scooped up and lost due to somebody just not paying attention, because automatically, if there's not a response to that claim, that user, that new user, can actually acquire that profile. Is that not the weirdest thing, Morty? Just being able to lose your GMB or your GBP by your inattention to an email.
Well, the weirdest thing is that they call it Google Business Profile.
That is weird.
Which makes sense when you refer it to the actual profile, but mm-hmm. when you refer to the program of Google Business Profile,
yep,
it makes no sense.
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't roll at all. I can't handle it.
GBP.
They'll change it next year.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but yeah, that's whacked. I mean, I get what they're doing. It's like, yeah, I get that it's annoying if you're legit, which most people are, and you're trying to get somebody in there to set up your profile,
right,
and advance your organic and your web presence. But it's, you know, kind of makes sense. I mean, maybe there's a kind of like, you know, like double verification process you can do instead.
Sure. I mean, Microsoft that authentication
would also seem to be, is easier.
I mean, if you had an authenticator, which Google does have, right? Google has an then authenticator. Like, why aren't you locking down the GBPs?
Right. So just do it authentication.
I'm saying.
Why do the 7-day? That's the part that doesn't make sense to me. Well, but I get why they're doing it.
I think
it's hard to be angry when their attendance are so good.
I'm sorry. I'll find something else to be angry about. Let's go to our next.
Yeah, please.
All right. Before we get to the next article, our third sponsor of the show, I want to make sure that we give a shout out to Site Strategics, their continued sponsor of Edge of the Web. Pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology, our core specialties are technical SEO, SEM, social media, conversion rate optimization, results-based marketing that actually works. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. All right, last article we wanted to cover here today. Google Analytics from Social Media Examiner, from Michael Stelzer. Google Analytics blocking and what it means to marketers. I want to throw this fourth article in here because it may be old news, but it does cycle back around, and you do need to pay attention to it as a marketer. Have you noticed that your data doesn't really add up lately? Wondering how Google Analytics blocking is affecting your marketing? Well, they did an analysis of Google Ad Analytics blocking and what it means to marketers, or for marketers. Here's the deal, is that you're not getting all the traffic logged in Google Analytics, okay? They actually did a study when they began comparing Google's data with their Cloudflare analytics data. Cloudflare is a low-cost, low or no-cost service that provides caching, bot protection, and many other things. Because it handles the front end of all traffic to their website, it can't be blocked and does actually provide a true picture of site traffic. They discovered that less than 50% of the traffic was accounted for by Google Analytics. That meant that what they were seeing inside of GA was only part of the story. So they dug in deeper, and since the middle of 2019, the Firefox web browser has blocked Google Analytics from firing by default. Dun, dun, dun. eMarketer says Firefox represented 8.1% of the desktop browser market in May 2021. And if they're blocking Google Analytics from firing by default, hey, we're close to 10% mark on the visibility of traffic. I'm going to park that for a second. Morty, what are your thoughts on missing data there?
I think that people overemphasize Google Analytics because it's Google. Whereas if you're using Cloudflare in this case, mm-hmm. or your CMS, mm-hmm. you have analytics in there that's coming directly from the server.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You should check that also and see how far apart they are. And if they are far apart, then perhaps for whatever weird reason, many of your users are on Firefox.
Well,
like maybe your whole audience is like open source dev people. So your analytics is shot.
Morty, I have one of those counters at the bottom of my website that tells you how many visitors. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a
nice.
Thing. Is that okay to use?
That's it. That's what I would use.
Awesome.
That's it.
All right. I get the
You still pay cash at the toll booth?
Of course.
Yeah, makes sense.
Wow.
At least you're consistent.
Hey, traffic and traffic flow and understanding traffic growth is an important thing. And if you're not seeing accuracy in Google Analytics, and to your point, don't just steer by Google Analytics. Have other pieces of information at your disposal. But here's the other. But
also, it's a trend. It's a trend.
Right. It is.
It's not like, oh, these are the exact number of visitors I had on my website. Except maybe a bunch of them are bots that Google didn't pick out.
And there's also ad blocking. Ad blocking is known to also turn off Google Analytics by default because Analytics is a JavaScript. And if it's not allowing that to fire, many of the tools are actually being used by Chrome users as well. You're going to be seeing, according to the Edelman Trust Barometer, nearly half of the internet users are employing ad blocking technology. And 46% have found ways to avoid almost all ads. Along with that is subjecting Google Analytics to that. So it's not just Firefox. You got 46% of the internet audience using some sort of ad blocker. And that's interesting in its own right, because again, not going to be seeing the traffic, let alone being able to deliver traffic and remarketing ads, what have you.
Yeah, so, I mean, but right. So, I mean, but how much percent of that is a blocker that impacts Google Analytics also is a question. But the point is true. And again, like if you're looking at analytics, it's like, oh, this is like exactly what's going on. Like you're going to be disappointed because that's not exactly what's going on, my friend. Look at it like a trend. So if you're a normal website where you have a normal mix of mostly Chrome people,
right,
a nice segment of Firefox, the trends are, and you have, you know, 1,000 people coming to your site a day. Okay. Like you have a generalized sense of the range of how successful and how desirable your site is.
Well, done. Yeah.
Did it.
Don't look look at the behavior. Don't look at the numbers. Because you're still going to be seeing the behavior moving and interacting. Just don't look. But it does get down to the play. If you're losing more and more visibility of your organic traffic, then SEO marketers need to be able to show other factors besides organic traffic in analytics. You have to. Otherwise, you're shortchanging yourself, right?
Yeah, or any traffic source. They come through social. They go to.
But organic search is the most important. We all know that.
Unless you're like super popular on social, which I guess you're not.
No, I'm not. No. SEO is actually the most important. The jury's out.
Yes.
All right. So exactly. So that's why we have SEO chat. Hashtag SEO chat on Twitter every week because it is the most important.
Yeah. So except for the people doing PPC chat, they seem very successful.
Oh my God. All right, fine.
That looks awesome.
There's people over there. You want to go check out PPC chat this week?
No, I don't. I mean, it looks great, but like I can't handle PPC.
You just want to troll them? Why not? Too much?
No, I don't want to troll them, and they're doing a great job. They're killing it.
Yeah, all right. So let's kill it on SEO.
Shout out to PPC chat.
Why would you do that? Why would you want to cross-pollinate?
It's not a competition, man.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's SEO and PPC. Come on. It's oil not. And water.
Can't you all just get along?
All right. Who's driving this ship? Who's hosting SEO chat this week?
Stacy McNaught is talking about work-life balance and SEO this Thursday on SEO chat. I forgot to do a tweet to promote it, but thank you for reminding me. I'll do that after the show. You're a scholar and a gentleman. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitter. Just look for the hashtag SEO chat. Head over to the latest tab when you search for it and refresh, and you'll see all the new tweets and follow the hashtag.
And we're going to beat up PPC chat this week, right?
I don't know what's going on in your life, but
I'm not
beating up anybody.
I'm not an angry man whatsoever. All right. Hey, by the way, thank you for your SEO rant. You got Jacob and I out there. Yeah, we had a good time.
Finally got that posted.
I'm saying.
Sorry for the delay.
Dude, it's like reading your blog.
It was like Halloween time when we had you on. I had you on. Who's we?
Like I said, it was like reading your blog, right?
Hey. It was a great episode. Yep. Ori Zilberstein was like, that was hilarious. Yeah, I laughed the whole way through.
We had a good time. That was funny.
Had a good time.
But kept on calling me a liar for some odd reason. I have no idea why.
That was great.
What the hell? Jacob
fact-check you. In case you didn't listen to the recent SEO rant, Aaron's like, yeah, I tell all the clients, like, you know, keywords are not important. I'm like, Jacob, is that true?
I can neither confirm.
He's like, oh, no, you're putting me on the spot here.
It was true, though.
Yeah, you're not a liar.
I appreciate it.
You're a scholar and a gentleman.
Whatever. Okay. But I appreciate you letting us on the SEO rant and allowing us to rant a little bit because, hey, you know, we don't do it enough here, right?
Thank you for plugging the episode.
You're welcome.
You're a scholar and a gentleman.
Okay. Three times he's given that to me. So I know it's, you know. It's just not there.
He's trying to make it rank on DuckDuckGo.
Are meta keywords a thing on DuckDuckGo?
Rail author.
Are we going to go back to that?
It's just put some meta keywords in there. Yeah, I think so. It should be a thing. All right, that's it. Wrapping it up. This is The Edge this week. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you're listening to our interview series as we keep on dropping that in the weeks to come here. We got the Martinez Morgan show, as well as we're going to be talking to releasing the Eli Sports podcast very soon. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to get updated when we go live with our show there, as well as when we drop our videos here. Thanks for the sponsors as well joining us this year. Certainly do appreciate it, and we're going to be expanding a number of different things on Edge with your help. So thanks to Hrefs, Inlinks, and Site Strategics. From all of us over at Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.